This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along today. We're talking with the author of a book on post-traumatic stress disorder. It's called Walking from the Shadows, My Journey with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. Kevin Maycumber is the author. He's joined us on the program today to talk about his book that he's written from his own experiences and the experiences also of how he has managed this condition and continued to live life all through the help of his faith journey. Kevin, thanks for being with us on the program today. What first inspired you to write the book? Was there like a pivotal moment when you said, I've got to share this story?
Well, you know, what's interesting here is I had no intentions of writing a book. In the book, I talk about my past and sort of where the beginning of my faith began. But I had a mental breakdown when I was about 30 years old. I'd already gone through a tremendous amount of trauma at that time, most of it untreated. And in context, 30 years ago, there was very little awareness. There was no understanding of PTSD. I don't even think they had the definition of it then. There was almost no help. There were no resources. And what I did was I started journaling. I was never a writer. You know, I was an engineer by trade, by profession, but I was not a very good writer. And so I started journaling every single day. And fast forward 5 years ago, almost 5 years ago, we moved to Pennsylvania. And I found over a box of my notes from journaling for about 20 years where I discussed everything you could imagine in my life regarding my illness. And I said, I've got a book. And the reason I knew I had a book about 20 years ago, and I speak a great deal of this in my book about what did I do to move forward. And I got involved in missionary volunteer work. And I have done all kinds of missionary volunteer work, from churches to veteran-oriented efforts, you know, typically focused around veteran homelessness, veteran mental health issues, post-traumatic stress disorder advocacy. And so while I was doing these, you know, I had an opportunity periodically to speak, and people were amazed, you know, not only just sort of by my wisdom and life experiences, but how I turned such bad situations around for the better. And then so I got into this box and I said, you know what, Kevin, you have a book here. And so I took every single page out, even with scissors, and I cut the sections out and put them into piles. I had about three dozen piles in my kitchen. And I said, these are the chapters of my book. And in a period of 6 months, I said, I'm going to write this. And I did.
Your experience with PTSD, obviously, I mean, you were in the military, but it doesn't have to come from that. So I imagine this reaches out to people more than just vets.
Correct. So, you know, one of the things, my book that I have today is not the book that I wrote, per se. I changed it some. I took out maybe three or four chapters worth of information. I was very heavily weighted on the military aspect of my trauma. But in the process of writing the book, I had what you call beta readers. And these are people you give a chapter to and say, hey, does this resonate with you? Do you like the content? Is it clear? And it came that every one of my readers, except for one, they weren't in the military. And they told me some of their traumas, and some of them were horrific. And I said, you know what? I have an opportunity to go past just the military trauma experience and go into others. You know, you have issues of abuse, assault. People can go through accidents, you know, very bad accidents, which can change your life. You have life events, which can cause trauma. And I realized that. So the very first three words are trauma is trauma. So I try to be trauma agnostic in my writing and focus instead on what I did to heal.
How does your book differ from other books of the same, of this, you know, kind of in that same genre of people think of self-help books, but I mean, this is more right than that, right?
So I think it's very, very unique. So first of all, you have to understand when you pick up one of these books, the vast majority, you know, almost 100% are written by clinicians or academics, and they read that way. And if you look at the writing style, they're almost all in third person, meaning the author is talking about somebody else. They're not talking about themselves. And that's a very big difference. The other thing is I'm about the least likely person to write such a book because I was an engineer. And as one of my readers says, wow, are you methodical? Well, that's sort of what I did for a career. The other thing is that in a lot of these self-help books, they don't make God part of their journey. And God was what literally saved my life, not just spiritually, but physically saved my life, was getting reintroduced to my faith. And that resonates throughout the book. You know, I don't see how you can go through the healing process if you don't have faith. When you look at academics and clinicians, they don't even touch on it. They avoid it. And I don't think that's a prudent thing. And that's how my book is very different.
Okay. So your background then, you were raised in raised in church and got away from it. And this was a return.
Well,
was that your?
I sort of was raised in church. You know, I grew up with very difficult parents. My father was just a very angry man. He had much to be grateful for, you know, as I look as an adult now, but he was not grateful and he was very angry. And we went to an Episcopalian church, and I'm not saying anything down about that. But I think it was more than a cultural thing where you went to church to be seen rather than really embracing it. And the big difference is when I became saved, I found a very conservative Methodist church in South Carolina, and it was markedly different. It was for the first time, you know, I really understood the big picture of going to church and understanding your faith. So while I went to church as a kid, I wouldn't say it was one that was, it was a spiritual, but probably more cultural.
Okay. Now, you were in the military, serving in the Middle East. Was that kind of where your issues began, or was it kind of the overall picture?
Right. So my issues actually became, I didn't really understand what was going on, you know, at the time I was in the military. So let me paint you a picture. I grew up in a very abusive household. My father, again, was a very violent man. And so I suffered a lot of mental abuse through my father. And so my first attempt to go in the military was at 16 when I met with a Marine recruiter. And my life, I felt, was so bad. I just wanted to get out of the house. And I convinced my mom to sign me into the U.S. Navy just 2 months after I was 17 years old. And I was a kid. And so when I went into the military, you know, at that point, we're talking 1981, it was just post-Vietnam. The world had calmed down quite a bit. I think we were still somewhat naive, but the Middle East at that time was really raging. I had no idea that I would find myself towards the front lines less than 2 years later. And that's what happened. So that was the military was my next layer of trauma. And I had multiple layers there from not only extremely difficult duty, I had an accident, a severe accident when I was in service, which still to this day I'm dealing with. And as well, I had the experiences that anybody would when you'd be on the front line seeing what I had seen. And then after I got out of the military, I went to college, and then I had a really tragic event happen. And that's really what became the catalyst of all of my many, many years of trauma unfolding and unraveling.
So there's a whole collection of issues that kind of came to a head.
They did. And what you find when you look back upon it, it's really, they use the term layers. You have layers of PTSD. And so it's sort of like an onion when you're trying to deal with it. You got to peel that onion. You know, you keep peeling the layers to get to the middle.
Okay. Do you feel like in veteran support circles that there should be more of this type of, using faith to solve the problem?
Absolutely. So, you know, I have a pretty good feel for how to heal myself. I think mostly for the veteran community, if you're within the VA, you have access to certain types of resources, such as you may have a therapist, some are varying skills. And you may have a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist is the one who gives you the medication, you know, should that be required. The problem is that it's not enough. And so I developed a term, what I call mindshare. And what that means is, say if you are really suffering and you are dwelling upon your issues, say 3 or 4 hours a day over a month, that's 100 hours, you know, you're spending on negative and, you know, destructive thoughts possibly. If you just use a counselor of some type, that may be 1 hour, that's 1%. You're not really tackling this sea of negative thoughts that you have. Where the group therapy comes in, and I got exposed to some of that, but it wasn't a PTSD group therapy. First of all, you're peer-to-peer, but the value is the group that I went to was at a church, and I saw how people were using their faith, and they were growing in their faith, and they were able to address and tackle the very difficult things that were consuming them. And that gives you an opportunity to add a whole lot of positive hours versus all the negative hours that you spend so much time. And it's a lot. Just to give you a snapshot, my PTSD, as diagnosed by the VA, is considered severe. And in layman's terms, that means my symptoms are near constant. And they are. My symptoms are always there. It's just how I manage them is so drastically different than I did 30 years ago.
Okay. So therapy, faith, and medication, you're saying, can all be part of the puzzle to find the solution, not necessarily sticking to one.
Well, I'm not a big fan on the medication, honestly.
Okay.
And I may sound cynical on this, and I'm not an expert on it, but I think we have to be very careful. We are a society that really likes to medicate everything. And I think, you know, when you're sick and you are just so overwhelmed by so many symptoms, you know, whether it be anger or sadness, fatigue, whatever it is painful. I, you know, at my worst, my body ached 24/7. I was not sleeping. I did not sleep for almost 20 years. And I would sleep. You know, I don't want to mislead you there. I would get maybe 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night, but it wasn't all together. And so your body really is aching quite a bit, and you're just desperate for some kind of relief. Tying that back to medicine, I think there is too much of a tendency to jump to the medicine for a quick fix, make you feel better. Oh, I'm going to get better. You're not. You know, you have to go the long journey. And I think faith is probably the greatest element. And when you look at another example, there's already a really good example of way faith can impact somebody having an issue. And that's if you're an alcoholic. I don't know if you've ever had a chance, or your listeners have ever, you know, seen the 12-step program by AA. But it involves God. You know, you learn how to turn over your issues to God. You learn about control, what you can, what you can't control. And you turn your life around with the power of God. And you can't do that in the secular world. There's just no other mechanism that I've ever found that does it. Yes, you can get support, like if you're in a peer-to-peer group, but you're only there for maybe an hour or two. But you have to go back home and deal with yourself when you get home.
If you could go back and tell your younger self something before your trauma began, what would it be?
Right. So there's a couple things I wish I had heard. The first thing is when you have PTSD, it actually does alter your brain and it rewires your brain. They're doing a lot of research on this. You know, brain research is not as far along as people might think it is, but it rewires your brain. And one thing I'd wish I had heard was to understand that your brain can play tricks on you. We all experience this in some way. Say if you get really angry and you jump to a conclusion and think something because you're angry, Well, when you've got PTSD, your brain does that on everything. At least it did with me. And so what I really needed to hear very early on was what is real, what is not real, what do I have control of, and what don't I have control of? It's very similar to the Serenity Prayer, of course, right? What do you have control of? What? And that would have significantly helped me to really understand those concepts. And of course, with regards to control, once I found my faith, that was huge because I understood I had no control. And I learned how to turn things over to God and, you know, put my thoughts to rest and wait for God maybe to give me some wisdom of sorts to deal with things. The other thing I needed to hear was a roadmap, and I never got this. I never had anybody paint me a picture of what my life might look like for the next 1 to 2 years. I just kept struggling in the same ruminating thoughts and wasn't getting any answers. Things weren't making sense. And I think some kind of roadmap going, you're going to think this way, you're going to act this way, you're going to have issues with sleep, you may want to isolate, you may have issues trusting people, you may have issues in public. That would have been tremendous to hear that early on, say, those are very normal things, and these are some of the things you can do to prepare to manage them. I didn't get that. And I believe had I gotten those two things, my healing journey would have gone much quicker. And of course, that's where, you know, potential Christian ministries can come in. They can come in and scoop people up and, you know, dust them off and say, we're going to help you find the way home.
Give me any kind of feedback you've had from people who have been impacted by this, by the book or your presentation of the information, and also do you plan some of that in the future to, you know, do more advocacy?
Sure. So, you know, as I said, I did a lot of missionary volunteer work through my church. I did a lot of other work with other charities, and you have to understand mental health has a stigma to it. And despite I was an executive, I was going out in public. I did not care. I told people what I was really feeling and what happened to me. And I saw such a positive response to that. And I saw it at so many different capacities. I saw it at peers, you know, veterans who were struggling. I saw it, you know, from the leaders of organizations trying to run things. They found somebody who was willing to be honest and talk about their issues openly in public for the better of, you know, mankind without having any concern about their own being, in the sense, you know, those, when you speak about mental health and you're in the corporate world, that can go after your career. I didn't care, you know, at that point. I was very competent in my job. I was a good employee, but there was a real side of me and I wasn't going to hide it. On the book itself, I've been somewhat shocked by the positive responses I've gotten back, because as you go through the book was written in a very unique way. You can start with the first chapter. You probably should read the first chapter, but I wrote the book so you can read any chapter of the book and then go back to other chapters. They sort of link to one another. And one of the things I did, I've never seen done before in any self-help book like this, is I put the symptoms by chapter. So, for example, one that really resonates a lot with people with PTSD is the topic of isolation. And when you get traumatized, you just want to isolate. You want to hunker down. You want to stay at home. You don't want to go out. It's very difficult for you to go out. You know, depending if you're like been in an accident or you're military or first responder, you know, certain noises or large number of people can trigger you back into your trauma. It really is a horrible thing to go through. I went through it for quite a period of time. So to avoid that, you stay at home. So by putting the chapters by symptom, it really helps somebody in a methodical way understand what they are thinking, and it gives them an idea of what they can expect and where they can go with it. And maybe that's my engineering background, writing such a book and looking at it just from a very different set of eyes as to what I think would really help somebody else to move forward.
All right. Is there a specific place we can get this online, or are there local bookstores perhaps carrying it?
For sure. So the first thing I did was, if your listeners are on Kindle Unlimited, the book is free, and I've decided to leave the book for free forever. I don't want to make money on it. And that's sort of the underpinning of this. I'm not doing this for money. The book is just a vehicle for me to talk to people. You know, it gave me some credibility to come on your radio station or other events or other media organizations. So you can download the book from Amazon. It's like $7, and you can buy the paperback book, which is $10. And these are costs just to cover the book. And I wanted to keep it as least expensive as possible, so people could have easy access to it and not shy away from the price. Some of these books can be, self-help books can be somewhat pricey, and that's not the purpose. I didn't need to make any money from this. And I think that makes the book unique in itself. I literally do not care if I make any money from this. I don't need the money. You know, I'm here on a one-man mission to see what we can do to reduce the suicide rate. Where else can you get it? I think you can get it at Barnes & Noble, but Amazon is your best place. There is one thing I'd like to offer up is, you know, I'm willing to talk to any other organization, whether it be a VFW, a church, a community, across the state, Southern New Jersey, you know, Mid-Atlantic. It's a good story to hear, and I think it can really help a lot of people, and I appreciate you sharing this with your listeners.
Is there a website they can go to contact you, or a number?
I have an email that you could use. It's wftsinfo@gmail.com.
Okay. wftsinfo at
gmail.com.
Gmail.
That stands
okay.
for
okay.
walking from the shadow info at gmail.com.
Okay, great.
And I'm willing to travel anywhere.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.